Good morning. It's good to see you. I know a lot of people fighting colds, and it's that time of year, isn't it? And the weather. In fact, the weather is so good that we have people coming from Arizona to here. And that is an introduction. Wayne and Judy Walters. I'm just going to ask you to stand for just a moment. And so if Wayne and Judy would stand, and we appreciate them. Thank you. You may be seated, and we want to pray for Wayne. Sorry. They wanted to stand. We talked about this beforehand, don't? But they really didn't want to come forward. Wayne's always been in the background, but I need to tell you a little story about Wayne and Judy. They've been here at Hannaford for over 40 years, and they are now, yes. And they have now moved to Arizona, and it worked out where when someone moves, we're all very sad. We want to pray God's blessing for them, and it worked out when they ended up moving down, we didn't get that chance, and so we want to pray for them, and they're living in Arizona, but they're here to see family for a couple weeks, their children and their families, so we want to pray for God's blessing upon them, and we will do that as we begin our service this morning. So let's pray and ask for God's blessing upon them, and also that God would take and use His word this morning in each of our hearts and lives. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness and goodness. And Lord, I thank You for Wayne and Judy and all that they have done for the church family at Hannaford. And I pray that You would bless them as they make their new home in Arizona. I pray that You would just have Your hand upon them, that You would encourage and strengthen them each and every day. And we thank You for them. And Lord, we pray today as we are challenged in from Your word, as we continue to look through Proverbs, Lord, may we take the principles of Your word this morning and apply them to our lives, not just today, but to make them regular character values of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Need to let you know, next Sunday is our annual meeting, and so we'll be voting on the budget, some constitutional changes, and deacon nominees, and all three of those are posted up at the on the bulletin board near the offices. So I encourage you, if you have questions, please come and talk to us. The meeting will be at 10 o'clock next Sunday morning between the two services. And so, and again, any questions that you have, please talk to us, and then we will be having our annual meeting next Sunday. Titled today's message, The Most Powerful Weapon in the World, and it's the most powerful weapon that each and every one of us in this room will ever have. Somebody in this room may be the eventual president of the United States, but I believe this weapon is more powerful than the button that they always hear about, that the president and the code that the president has. It's the most powerful weapon. In fact, I brought a sample of this weapon, and I have it right here. So, and if you sit in the back, you're missing out. You're supposed to go, wow, so they'll all want to come sit in the front. This is a tongue. And this is a cow tongue, but it's the most powerful weapon. And you say, oh, come on. God's word says it's an incredibly powerful weapon that each and every one of us has. So let's see what God's word says about the tongue. Before we do that, I want you to think about what we've all heard quotes, little modern-day proverbs about the tongue or speech. So I want you, and I encourage you to take notes. So I hope you got a bulletin this morning. If not, there's something in the seat pocket in front of you you can take and write on. I want you to write down a quote that you have heard about the tongue. And if it's really good, you can share it with a neighbor. You don't need to, but if it's really good, and I know you say, okay, this is Sunday. Some of you are students. You're like, I thought I was done with school this week, but I'm making you work, aren't I? So go ahead and take that, write that down, a quote that you have heard about the tongue. Go ahead. You got about 30 seconds. And again, if you think it's something your neighbor needs to know about, feel free to share it with them. They may need to be reminded of it. All right, you got about 10 seconds left. A timed pop quiz. How unfair. All right, so what are some of the ones? Go ahead, and I know we may talk over each other, but here, what are some of the ones that you've heard? Yes? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Someone else? Loose lips sink ships. All the rest of you fail. All right, I need one more. I'm going to be stubborn. One more. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. So I want to begin this morning by sharing two modern-day proverbs or quotes about the tongue. The first one, and some people attribute this to Abraham Lincoln, some people to Mark Twain, and there's this question about who actually was the person who originated this, but it's this: better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt. And actually, that comes from Proverbs. Second one: sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, that first one, whoever was the originator of it, some very powerful words, very truthful words. The second one, completely false. Because I want you to think back to your childhood. Now, you may be younger, you may be older. For some of you, it won't be very long you have to think back to. For some of us, it's getting to be quite a while back there. But I guarantee you, you can think of a time that you got injured as a child. And you can think of a time that someone said something that hurt you as a child. And the first thing is, you can remember exactly what they said. And secondly, I believe the pain of what they said is a lot more than the pain of the injury as you look back. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me is completely false. Because the tongue is incredibly powerful. And what we say affects us, it affects our relationship with God, and it can encourage or devastate others. In Proverbs chapter 13, it speaks some about the tongue and our speech, and how our speech needs to be positive and encourage others rather than to hurt others. I hope you're going through our January challenge and reading a proverb each day corresponding with that day of this month, and then also the daily devotional. Again, it's on the website, and also there's some hard copies out at the Welcome Center, and do that. You know, it's also interesting, you make New Year's resolutions. Coming up very shortly is New Year's Resolution Recommitment Day. So if you've messed up on all your New Year's resolutions and haven't done them, literally, it's a day that they have set aside that you can sort of get like a do-over. Well, if you haven't been doing our daily reading of Proverbs and the daily devotional, I encourage you, we're going to give you a do-over. Start today, chapter 13, January 13th. But as we see this, the importance and the power of the tongue. In fact, Solomon throughout Proverbs speaks more about the tongue than all but about two other subjects throughout the book of Proverbs, recognizing the number one subject he talks about is the wise and foolish man. But close behind that are a couple others, including his discussion about the tongue and what we say, both good and bad. The power of the tongue. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. James chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, and actually good reading is all the way verses 1 through 12, probably the most familiar passage on the tongue other than what's given throughout Proverbs. But in verses 3 through 5 of James 3, it says this, "Indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a fire, or a forest, a little fire kindles." If you were like me last November, you're reading about the Camp Fire in California, the worst fire in California history. In fact, someone in our church, their brother, he and his wife lost their home there in the Camp Fire in California. But as I was reading a story about the Camp Fire, they said that it was the most destructive fire in U.S. history going back to 1918, the Cloquet Fire. Anybody was there for the Cloquet Fire? You'd be 100 now if you were, maybe even 101. But no, the Cloquet Fire in Cloquet, Minnesota, 1918. And of course, when you read an article and you see something like, well, I got to read about the Cloquet Fire. So I went ahead and I read about this Cloquet Fire. Amazing. It was northern Minnesota. Cloquet is a small town in northern Minnesota. It was October 1918. It was caused, a railroad train went by and a spark caught the grass on fire. Things were pretty dry at that time. And the destruction was unbelievable. Just a couple facts about the destruction there. It was the worst natural disaster in Minnesota history. 453 people were killed in that fire. 52,000 people were injured or displaced. 38 communities were destroyed. 250,000 acres were burned. And there was an estimated cost of $73 million in 1918. And if you take that into today's dollars, it would be $1.216 billion. In today's cost, property damage, fire. And so James, writing there in James chapter 3, compares the tongue to a bit that controls a powerful horse, to a rudder that controls a powerful ship, and to a spark that can destroy a whole forest. The tongue, an incredibly powerful weapon, and a weapon that each and every one of us has. Some of us, it can be used for good or for bad. And for each of us, we each at times use it for good and use it for bad. So I'd like us to spend a few minutes this morning and look at the godly tongue as Solomon describes in Proverbs. And as we look at the godly tongue, we also see the contrast of the ungodly tongue. But let's look at a godly tongue. A godly tongue is honest. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight." An honest tongue. Speaking the truth. Now, we oftentimes don't understand, and I think a lot of times it's intentionally, we don't think about honesty and dishonesty. Because sometimes with lies, you know, we say, well, it's a white lie. It didn't hurt anybody. Well, I think there's another saying that talks about those who share white lies are colorblind. Because it's dishonest. We also don't understand the scope of dishonesty. Obviously, you know, well, yeah, I didn't say anything wrong. I just left out some of the information. You ever talking to someone who leaves out some of the information? Why do they leave out some of the information? Because they want to look better, or possibly they want someone else to look worse. And so they leave out a few of the facts to make themselves look better. And we've all done that, haven't we? We sort of seem to skip over some of the parts of the story that may make us look foolish or wrong. Oftentimes our dishonesty involves gossip or slander. But God loves an honest person. Honesty, an integral part of being a person of integrity. I will speak the truth. A godly tongue is an honest tongue. A godly tongue is also careful. Proverbs 17:28 says, "Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." Remember? Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. That comes from that verse in Proverbs 17 and another one that's very similar to it. Proverbs 10:19 says, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." That's a pretty strong statement. The more you talk, the more you struggle with sin. Now, I want you to think about this. And thinking about it in my own life, how many times do I wish I would have said more? And how many times do I wish I would have said less? Now, just before you throw rocks at me or anything like that, sticks and stones, they may break my bones, but there are times where I've said I needed to stand up and say something. But that's not what we're talking about here. So many times in a discussion with someone, we might want to call it an argument. But discussion sounds better, doesn't it? How many times do I say, "Oh, I wish I would not have said that"? You see, a wise tongue is careful. And a righteous man, a godly person, will be very careful what they say. And the saying, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. We need to think before we speak. A careful tongue. Social media. You see, it goes beyond. And in Solomon's day, they didn't have social media, but it fits perfectly. And most of you know I'm a pretty big sports fan, and I remember listening to a coach, and he said, "I wish I could ban my players from social media because they're writing things that are inflammatory, whether it's versus their opponent or maybe a teammate that they're struggling with or the front office of the team or whoever it is, they're using social media." And social media can be a very good thing, but social media can also be a very destructive thing. A couple that's having struggles, and one of them sends out on their social media account the frustration that they're having. Can you believe what he did or what she did? We need to be careful with what we say and what we write. And social media, it seems like it's even worse because people seem less inhibited in sharing, because they're not standing in front of that person. They can just share about them, and they don't even have to face anybody when they say it. They just throw it out there. We have to be so careful in what we say. The godly tongue is also controlled. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Have you ever been in one of those arguments, whether it's with a spouse or a family member or a friend, or maybe now an ex-friend or a workmate or a neighbor, whoever it is, and you say, you start and somebody says something that's inflammatory, but then the other person throws fuel on the fire. In contrast to trying to have an argument with someone who is gracious and throws out that soft answer, it's really hard to have an argument with someone who is gracious and their words are kind. Oftentimes we have an argument and we're 10 minutes in the argument and we have a hard time remembering even how it started. But I guarantee how it escalated. It escalated because you're throwing out those unkind, harsh words. And it just builds, and both sides are just throwing them on and just putting more fuel on the fire until it's just a burning inferno. Remember Friday, I had something I needed to do, and I had lots of stuff I needed to do, and so I was like, "Irene, you need to help me with this," and da, 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 and I just, well, you know, she had as much or more to do than I did, but her response was so gentle and gracious that it diffused the intensity of the situation. A soft answer turns away wrath or anger. We need to be that person who is not only careful in what they say, but controlled in what they say. And when we do that, we will honor God and encourage others. Proverbs also tells us that it is a blessing to overlook a matter. It's to one's glory to overlook a matter. Yeah, what they said or what they did was not good, but I'm going to respond with grace. And God says that's to our glory. But then it goes on and says, "But the fool speaks rashly." I don't know about you, but I sort of like being that person that's it's to my glory rather than the fool. But unfortunately, I look many times, I'm the fool. Because I've got to win the argument. Where I've got to stand my ground, where I have to show how much what they did or said hurt me, so I'm going to hurt them. Instead of being that person who is careful and controlled in what they say. But we also see Solomon tells us that a godly tongue is encouraging. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." A great picture of pleasant words. And there are a ton of verses throughout Proverbs that talk about those kind or pleasant or gracious words. So we're going to do a little something here, and trust me, you may be a little uncomfortable with it. I'm a lot more uncomfortable with it because I have to have a microphone when we do this. But If you're visiting with us this week, I really hope you'll be back next week. And I promise you we won't do this next week. But this had an impact on my life over 30 years ago, and I still remember it today. So we in our church, I was going to seminary in Minnesota, and so I was involved in a local church, and there was a group of us that would just sort of rotate doing children's church. Just a group of us that volunteered in the church to do that in the children's ministry. And so there was a group of us, and we just sort of rotate who we worked with. And there was one guy, a young guy about my age, at that time, not my age this time, but at that time. And his name was Scott, and he always came up with some really cool things. But I can't remember the full context of what we're talking about, but I know the emphasis was to share encouraging words and to use our tongue to honor God. And so he took Proverbs 16:24, and he had us memorize it by singing it. And so we sang this song, and I did not practice it afterwards, but I still know this verse and the melody that he taught us today. So, my goal is 30-some years from now, when you have an opportunity to say something kind, pleasant, or unkind, this little tune will go in your head just like it often goes in mine. So, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So, and again, just very simple, but I'll sing it and then I'm going to teach it to you, all right? So it goes like this. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Got it? All right, let's try it together. Ready? Pleasant. No. It's not. That wasn't a joke. You're going to sing it with me, all right? So, all right, here we go. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Now, then he also applied it. He said, you need to say pleasant words in any situation. So this isn't part of the verse, but you know, that was a pretty short song, so we're going to have to add to the song here. And so he's saying, sing them high and sing them low, sing them out wherever you go. All right, so sing them high and sing them low, sing them out wherever you go. All right, so let's try that part. Ready? Sing them high and sing them low, sing them out wherever you go. Proverbs 16:24. Now we're going to sing it all together. Are you ready? Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Sing them high and sing them low, sing them out wherever you go. Now, I really hope that this week, when your spouse says or does something and you're like, ugh, or your brother or sister says something, like, ugh, or your parent says something, ugh, or your child says, or your workmate says, I hope that tune comes to mind. Because our words not only are to be honest, careful, controlled, but they're to be encouraging. We need to speak encouraging words. And I want you to think about this. Who do you like being around? I guarantee, if you work in an office, there's some people in your office that you go, oh boy. H.B. London used to call them joy suckers. I mean, you go there and you could be having the best day ever and you spend 2 minutes with them and you're depressed. Or that encouraging person. That's the person you want to be around. That person that even in the intense and difficult situations shares words, even when they need to be hard words, but they say them with grace. And they're looking for the positive, and they're always coming alongside and encouraging people. Those are the people you want to be around. Now the question is, if you work in an office, do the people want to be around you? Because you're that person that's encouraging. You're that person that lives out Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You're that person who is careful and controlled in what they say. You're that person that's filled with integrity, so what you say is honest and gracious. Described in Ephesians chapter 4, speaking the truth in love. But Solomon not only shares what a godly tongue looks like, he shares some keys in how we can control our tongue and how we can make our tongue a godly tongue. And he does, first of all, by sharing where our words come from. You see, our character controls our tongue. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. One of the phrases or little modern-day proverbs about the tongue is garbage in, garbage out. What we say, and with social media, what we write reflects our character. So the next time you want to write or say that inflammatory thing, say, you know, guess what? I'm exposing my character. Just as if I say that encouraging, controlled, careful word, I'm exposing my character in a positive way. And so Solomon said, listen, what your character is will be revealed by your speech. Our character controls our tongue. But also we must seek God's help to control our tongue. Because when I do it on my own ability, through my own power, I mess up. And Solomon talks about it, but I want us to go to Psalm 141, verse 3. The psalmist there says this, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. You know, I need to have that on the mirror every morning as I get ready for my day. God, set a guard over what I say today. God, I need your help in what I say. So there are lots of challenges we get, but I want to challenge you to three things. And it doesn't matter whatever station you are in life, whether you're a student, whether you're retired, whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're working with a group of people or you work all by yourself. Every day we will fight the battle of our tongue. So I want to challenge you to do three things this week. Number one, I want to challenge you to ask forgiveness to someone you have hurt through words. And we can all think about that. If they're sitting next to you, you might want to wait till the service is over. But ask forgiveness to someone that you have hurt through words. Now, I don't want you to do it this way. Say, well, I can't thank anybody, so I'm going to do something, and then I can say I'm sorry after. No, that's not what you do. I have a feeling if you think hard enough, you'll come up with something. Number two, intentionally encourage someone with words through a conversation, a call, a text, a note, some way, show appreciation. And I put that word intentionally in front, because if you're like me, I'll leave today and I'll have good intentions, but the week goes by and the week ends and I haven't done it. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? This needs to be an important part of my priority list today. A note, a text, call, a conversation, whatever it is. Show appreciation, encouragement to someone. And number three, daily ask God to guide your conversation in order to honor Him with your tongue. God, when I try it on my own, I mess up. I have a family, I have friends, I have workmates, I have neighbors, and I'm going to say something that doesn't honor you. God, help me today to be that person that has that godly speech. May I be known as someone who speaks honestly, who speaks carefully, who speaks in a controlled way, and who speaks encouragement. And God, I need your help to do that today. And I need your help to do that tomorrow. So tomorrow morning, I need to pray that same thing. All right, God, it's a new day. Help me honor you with everything I say today. James chapter 3 goes on and he says that you use your tongue to bless God and to curse others. How foolish. He compares it to a fountain. He says, does a fountain send forth both sweet water and bitter? No. Just like that, your tongue shouldn't be used to bless God and to curse others. Use your tongue for good. It's the most powerful weapon in the world, and it can be used for great things, but it can be used for things that destroy and hurt. Not just for today, but I think back to my childhood and things that people said that I still remember today, some encouragement, but also the hurtful things. I remember word for word what they said. I want to be that person when people look back at their conversations with me that said, yeah, he was an encouragement. He was a help. That needs to be our goal. So remember the tongue and make sure you use it to honor God and bless others. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your goodness and your love. Lord, help us to honor you with our conversation. Lord, our speech, how we use social media, Lord, may we be known for our godly tongue. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.